Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Luke chapter 7, verse 18. The title of this morning's message is 3 Days of Death. 3 Days of Death. Last Sunday, we celebrated Easter. And it was a wonderful Sunday morning service. I love Easter. Easter is a great time for getting together with family, getting together with friends, ham dinners, egg hunts, lots of candy. How many kids still have candy left over? I know most of the kids are upstairs, but there are some young ones here. They still have their candy. But most importantly, Easter is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a time of victory. A time of hope, a time of excitement and enthusiasm. That's what Easter is. But have you ever thought about what it was like the 3 days leading up to Resurrection Sunday? The 3 days when Jesus was dead and buried and in the grave. What were those days like? What were those 3 days of death like? For the disciples, they were a period of darkness, of despair, of gloom, of fear. I mean, here you have Matthew. You have Matthew, who's given up his lucrative business of being a tax collector, because tax collectors stole from people, and that's what Matthew had done. And so he gave that up. You have Peter, Andrew, James, and John that left their nets. They gave up their successful fishing enterprise, and all of a sudden, now that Jesus is dead, they're out of a job. They have nothing. All of their hopes and dreams died when Jesus died on the cross. And to make matters worse, they are now hiding out in a little house in Jerusalem because they're afraid for their lives. They're afraid they will be next. Since they were associated with Christ, they were his close companions, that they will be next on the hit list. It was a time of incredible despair and darkness in their lives. Every Easter, our family, we have a tradition. We read a book called Benjamin's Box, and then we have resurrection eggs. I don't know if you've heard of resurrection eggs, but each egg has something symbolic of the week of the Passion. And the story Benjamin's Box, a little boy named Benjamin, his grandfather gave him a box that was like a treasure. And his grandfather said when he was a shepherd, that there was one time when an angel appeared and said, go to Bethlehem, and a king was born, and some straw from the manger where the shepherd was put in this box, and so this box was very special. And Benjamin has this box, and during the Passion Week, he picks up little elements from Jesus, the tuft of the donkey hair that Jesus rode into. There was a broken cup when he helped serve the Passover. All these different things, items he puts in his box. But when Jesus died, Benjamin comes to the place and he's so sad. He doesn't understand, why did God allow Jesus to die? Jesus was a good man. He was a kind man. He helped people. And Benjamin, he's praying to God, and he feels that God doesn't hear him. And this is what he says, God, do you even listen? Benjamin was going through something that I call the 3 days of death. It's something that all of us encounter, 3 days of death. And this is in your notes this morning. The 3 days of death, take a look in your bulletins, is a time that it appears God fails. And that's what it appeared. God failed the disciples. If you go through 3 days of death, God lets you down. He disappoints you. You feel like he should do something and he doesn't. You can maybe even pray and yet God feels far away. He feels distant, aloof, indifferent to your needs. 3 days of death is a time in your life when it just seems like everything is numb. It feels like you're going through a dry season. It feels like things are dead, like there's an emptiness, even though you're passionately pursuing a relationship with God. God is nowhere to be found in your life. How many of you have ever experienced a 3 days of death type experience? You seek God, but it seems like your prayers just fly back in your face. Just raise your hand. Several of you have. Here's the thing, and there are some of you here today that You're new Christians. Last Sunday, you raised your hand. You came forward. You asked Jesus in your life. This is something, if you're a new believer or a high school or junior high student, I want all of our students and new believers to listen to this. This is important. All of our kids, all of us in life experience a time of 3 days of death. Every single one of us. All of us will feel there is a time when God has let us down, when God has disappointed, when God did not come through. There's going to be times when you feel that God has abandoned you and He's not there. Everyone goes through this. If you're a new believer, you need to know that. Young people, students, kids, teenagers, you need to be aware of that. College kids, you need to be aware of that. When I was in college, I was a freshman in Bible college studying for ministry. In the second semester, there came a period of time where I was praying and it felt like God wasn't there. I was reading my Bible and I got nothing out of it. It felt like, you know, I got as much spiritual value out of reading the newspaper as I did out of reading the Bible. How many know there's not a whole lot of spiritual value in the newspaper? God seemed distant, and this went on for a period of weeks and then months. And here's the thing, this sense of emptiness of God not being there became so strong, I began to even wonder if God existed. And I'm going, Lord, do you really, I mean, isn't this kind of funny? You're praying to a God asking him if he exists. But that's how I felt. And it's like, okay, how do I know this God thing? How do I know this Bible? How do I know the Bible's true? How do I know God is real? Not just something that my parents or my pastor made up. I went several months just feeling nothing. And I continued praying and seeking God several months. And it felt like God was dead. He wasn't there in my life. It was about 6 months later. And I don't know what it was, but I realized one day the feeling was gone. The feeling was not there any longer. I don't know when it left, but all I know, it was a very real, painful time in my life. And there have been other times in my life when I have sensed that God felt far and distant. Not that He no longer existed, because He revealed Himself to me. He made that concrete, but here's the thing. It was almost even more painful because now as I'm going through a difficult time, here is an all-loving, all-caring, all-powerful God who exists. He knows about my situation, but He's not doing anything about it. And it felt like He rejected me. It felt like He just turned His back on me and walked away and said, Craig, have fun on your own. And when you know there's a God who's supposed to love and care, but He's rejected you and scorned you, it hurts. All of us experience a time of 3 days of death. And it might be a few days for you. It might be weeks. It may be months. Or it may be years. What do you do when you face a time when you feel God has abandoned you? God has rejected you, when you feel that God is dead in your life. This morning, take a look at your notes. We want to look at 5 PowerPoints for living through the days of death. 5 PowerPoints for living through the 3 days of death. If you're taking notes, these are 5 truths that when you feel God has let you down, when you feel God has removed His presence from you, you need to focus on these things over and over and over and over and renew your mind. Are you ready? Okay, buckle your seatbelts. Here we go. Point number 1, the first PowerPoint for living through the 3 days of death is that our relationship with Christ is based on faith, not feelings or results. Our relationship with Jesus is based on faith, not feelings or results. One of the greatest tricks of the devil is to cause us believers to dictate our closeness to God by how we feel. If I feel that God is doing things for me and He's helping me and answering prayer, I feel close to God. If I feel he's not helping me, he's not answering prayer, or I'm having problems or things are going bad, then I'm not very close to him. Friends, your closeness to God is not determined by your circumstances. Your relationship, your connection to Christ is not determined by what is happening in your life. Your relationship to Christ depends on, have you accepted him as your Savior? Have you surrendered your life to him? If you have surrendered your life as a living sacrifice, we talked about being living sacrifices last week. If you have surrendered yourself and you have availed yourself to God and says, Lord, here I am, then you are the seed of Abraham. You are the children of Abraham. He loves you. He's adopted you into his family, and there is nothing that separates you from that love. You are his. That connection is solid. But the devil likes to make us feel, and this is key, he likes to make us feel that God doesn't love us. It appears he's not working. It seems like he doesn't care. You hear that? Feels, seems, appears, looks. I remember one time, going to my grandmother's house. She lived out in the country in South Dakota. And there was a lot, they had a lot of rains, and some of the roads were flooded. And you didn't know which gravel roads were flooded. And so as we were driving down the road, we would come up over the hill, and there was some roads where it looked like there was water. And we kept driving, and there was no water across the road, but it looked like it. It was a mirage. It appeared that the road was closed. It was blocked and shut off. And friends, there are times in our lives when it appears that God has been blocked from us and it's shut off and we can't get through to him. That is a mirage of the devil. The devil wants to make you feel that you cannot reach God, that God is not there for you, and that is a lie, that is a trick of the devil. Don't buy into that. Do not base your relationship with Christ on your feelings. Take a look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. If you are a person that determines your closeness to God by how things are going in your life, you're going to live life on a spiritual roller coaster, up and down, up and down. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. And you're going to wrestle with, does God really care about me? If you live your life by what you see, instead of coming to an understanding of what God says and putting your faith in the Word, instead of living by what you see going on, the circumstances, the results that take place in your life. Here's the thing, and this is in your notes. When we walk by sight, we lose sight of God and who we are. When we walk by sight, we lose sight of God and who we are. There have been several people in the Bible that have looked at their circumstances and it seemed, it appeared, or it felt that God had abandoned them and he didn't care. Psalm 22, David. David is called a man after God's own heart. And yet, what does it say in Psalm 22? David says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? Why are you so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime and you do not hear. And in the night season, I am not silent. Have you ever felt like that before? God, I'm crying out to you. Why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? Why have you left me? How many have felt that way? I have. David felt that way and he was very close to God. John the Baptist. John, get this, he was a first cousin to Jesus. First cousin to Jesus. As John grew up, I'm sure his mother told him the story, when you were just a baby in my womb, when Mary came in, the mother of Jesus, and she was pregnant with Jesus, when she walked in, you kicked. The Holy Spirit came upon you. You knew even from in the womb that Jesus was the Messiah. I mean, John grew up with Jesus, okay? I don't know about you, but My cousins, I know my cousins weren't perfect, okay? Jesus and John, they hung out. John knew that Jesus, I mean, when you talk about being the perfect child, Jesus was the perfect child, you know. If there's an argument, hey, John's at fault because how can you blame Jesus? He's the Son of God. John knew that Jesus was a sinless man, that he was the Messiah. Yet take a look in Luke chapter 7, verse 18. Let's look at our text this morning. The setting is that John had told Herod that he was living in sin when he executed his brother and took his brother's wife for his own. He was committing adultery. Herod threw John in jail. And this is what it says, verse 18. John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus saying, "Are you the coming one? Are you the Messiah, or do we look for another?" And when the men had come to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist is sent to you saying, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" Friends, John the Baptist is doubting whether or not Jesus is the Messiah. Why? Because he's in jail. He's in jail. His ministry, all of a sudden, isn't going real well. He has no results. I've done all this for God, and I'm sitting in jail. I may lose my life, which he did eventually lose his life. His head was cut off. And John is wondering in this time, is Jesus the Messiah? You know, besides Mary and Joseph, if there was any human on the planet that should have known whether or not Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, it should have been John. John forgot who Jesus was and what God had called him to. Look at verse 27. Actually, we'll pick it up in verse 25. Jesus is saying, "What did you go out to see?" He's referring to John. "A man clothed in soft garments. Indeed, those who are gorgeously apparelled and live in luxury are in king's courts. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet." Look at verse 27. "This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you.'" Jesus is saying John was the forerunner of the Messiah. John knew that was his calling. But when he's thrown in prison, he loses sight of who he is. He loses sight of who Jesus is, and he begins to doubt in this time of 3 days of death. When we walk by what we see, by what we feel, by what's happening around us, we lose sight of God. We lose sight of the fact that he cares about us and who we are in him. There may be some of you here this morning, you're living right now in the 3 days of death. I want you to know, friends, God hasn't changed. There will be mountaintops and valleys in your life. That's part of life. Every one of us go through mountaintops and valleys. If you find yourself in a valley, in a low point, in the time of 3 days of death, friends, God loves you, he cares, and he's still there. Don't buy in to the lie of the devil. Walk by faith, not by what you see, not by what you feel. God cares about you. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 11. One last example before we move to the rest of the points on this, because this is critical. I know some people that say, if you just have enough faith, you're going to see God give you a powerful life, and you're going to have all these great things happen to you. Now, that does happen sometimes. But Hebrews chapter 11 is called the Hall of Faith, okay? You know, we have the Hall of Fame for baseball players and football players. It's like the people that have really accomplished something, we put them in the Hall of Fame. Well, God puts the people that really have great faith, that did great things for him, he puts them, he lists them in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Hall of Faith. Take a look at verse 32. "What more shall I say? The time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets." Listen to this. "Who through faith subdued kingdoms?" How many want to take kingdoms? Yeah. "They worked righteousness and obtained promises." How many like getting promises? Nobody? Come on, help me here. Who likes getting promises? Good promises, yeah. Stop the mouths of lions. Oh, yeah. Who wants to do that? That's cool. Quench the violence of fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three bad boys who survived the fiery furnace. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle. They turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Friends, we're talking about some pretty powerful things here. How many want to live in that, huh? That sounds good. What does it say next? Others were tortured. Who's raising their hand on that one? Nobody. Yeah, I'm putting my hand down too. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. That means they were whipped. And of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens, in caves of the earth. Doesn't sound like a very good life, does it? You have people that were at the pinnacle, at the high, and you have other people at the other extreme, down in the very low, being tortured and afflicted. But look what verse 39 says. And all these, underline that in your Bibles, all these, those who were on the top, those that were on the bottom, all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith. All of them. Some of them saw God come through. Some did not, but all obtained a good testimony. All had faith. All pleased God. If you are going through a days of death period, realize that your relationship with Jesus, your closeness to God, your intimacy does not depend upon your circumstances. It doesn't depend upon how you feel. It depends on the fact that there is a God in heaven who loves you, who sent his son Jesus Christ to die a painful death. He shed his blood. He gave his body. But 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And there is victory in Jesus, my Savior, for ever. Not for a day, but for eternity. So no matter how you feel, if you've surrendered your life to Christ, you have a relationship with Him. Your circumstances do not sever relationship. Okay? Walk by faith, not by feelings or results. Let's take a look at the second PowerPoint. We're going to pick it up here a little bit. The second truth that we need to focus on in the 3 days of death, number two, God is with you. God is with you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, it says, "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." What does never mean? Never. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Never means never. What if you feel he's left you? Has he left you? No. What if it appears he's left you? Has he left you? What if it seems like he's left you? Has he left you? No. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is always with you. It goes on to say, so, verse 6, so we may boldly say, boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I can boldly say, God is my helper. Why? Because he's with me. God is with you. If you feel like he's a million miles away, maybe even you're doubting his existence, friends, he is with you. We read this morning, right after worship, Hebrews 2:16, indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Friends, if you're saved, you're the seed of Abraham. He gives you aid. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 says, the Lord is near. He is near. He is not playing hide and seek. He's not a million miles off at space. He is near. If you're a believer, you're a temple of God, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. God is with you. He never leaves. Tell the devil when you feel that way, Satan, you're a liar. Get out of here. God is with me. You have to make faith declarations. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There are times when I speak things out loud so I can hear it with my ears, because as I hear it with my ears, it builds faith. And there, it may not be always Joyce Meyer on the television. You may not be in church on Sunday morning to hear Pastor Craig or some discipleship group leader tell you that. And so you and I need to begin to declare the word of God so we can hear it, so faith can rise in us, and we can believe that God is with us. Start making faith declarations if you are doubting God being with you and helping you. That's the second PowerPoint. The third thing that we need to focus on to make it through the days of death is that God still loves and values you. God still loves and values you. You see, it's not just enough that God is with you. Because if God is with you, but he hates you, he's ticked off at you, how many want him with you anymore? This all-powerful, Almighty Creator who can snuff out life at any moment. If he's with you and he hates you, you are in deep weeds. Right? It's not just enough he's with you, but friends, he loves you and values you. And we need to keep hold of that. In Romans chapter 8, it says in verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And the answer to that would be no one. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all of us. Not just some, but all. That's how you have proof that God loves you. He gave his son up for every single one of us. He goes on to say, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Do you realize Jesus is praying for you today, right now? He's praying for you, Anthony LaMotta. He's praying for you, Marty Leischer, Vi Haller, every single one of us. Jesus is making intercession. He is lifting you up. He knows your needs and he's praying for you. It goes on to say, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Now notice verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for slaughter. Friends, in the very same verse it talks about God loving us and nothing separates us, it talks about us being slaughtered like sheep. Even though you're going through the 3 days of death, nothing separates you from the love of God. He says it right there in Romans. Nothing. Doesn't matter how bad it is, nothing separates. He goes on to say, yet in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, that would be demons, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing separates you from God's love. No matter how you feel, no matter how it looks, no matter how it seems or appears, nothing separates. John lost sight of the fact of that. In Luke 7:28, this is what Jesus said, I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. That's what Jesus said about John. He says, Moses, Isaiah, no. Jeremiah, no. Malachi, Zephaniah, Haggai, you know, all those guys, Daniel, Ezekiel, no. No prophet greater than John. You talk about the value God put on John. John felt like he didn't matter anymore. He did matter. And you know what Jesus says? Jesus goes on after he talks about John, and this is what he says. He says, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven, those who have been born again. John never ever had a chance to have Jesus cleanse him of his sin and have the Holy Spirit live inside of him. Those in the kingdom, that's who it's talking about, people that have the Holy Spirit in them. And Jesus said, he who is the least, the smallest Christian, the least significant Christian is greater than John. Greater than Isaiah, Daniel, Moses, all of them. Wow. Friends, God places value on us. Incredible value. You're his daughter or his son. Nothing separates you from God. Nothing. Remember that when you're going through your time of 3 days of death. The fourth PowerPoint for living through 3 days of death is number four, God is working behind the scenes. That's a good place for an amen. God is working behind the scenes. Sometimes when we feel that God's abandoned us or we're going through a spiritually dry time, we feel that nothing's taking place, that God is not moving, that he's just dead, that everything's empty and numb. You feel like you're a wet towel and he stuck you on the clothesline, he hung you out to dry and he forgot about you. But friends, that's not true. It says in Luke chapter 7, verse 20, when the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist has sent us saying, are you the coming one or do we look for another? That very hour, Jesus cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits. To many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things you've seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Friends, John couldn't see God working. Jesus was working and doing miracles. Even when you don't see it, even when you feel imprisoned, God is at work in your life. Jesus was dead in the grave for 3 days. The disciples thought it was over. Why? Because they didn't see God working. Do you realize that Jesus was fulfilling prophecy? That just as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale, the Son of Man's 3 days in the earth, in the grave. Jesus was fulfilling prophecy. He was at work, even though it appeared nothing was happening. As you continue to pray and seek God, there are things taking place in the heavenlies that you don't know about. Daniel talks about he has this vision. He's praying to God for an interpretation of the vision. For 20 days, he prays and fasts, and finally there's a breakthrough, and the angel of God appears, and the angel says, the prince of Persia, the demonic spirit that rules the country of Spira, was battling me for 20 days, but because of your prayers, I was able to break through. Daniel did not see this war in the heavenlies going on, but he prayed, and it was his steadfastness and his fasting and his commitment to God that brought the breakthrough. Never give up, because God is at work even if you don't see him. The last PowerPoint you and I need to apply to our lives if we're going to make it through the 3 days of death is this. We must seek God first no matter what. We must seek God first no matter what. Last week we said that being a Christian means that we are living sacrifices. That we yield our lives to God. We die to what we want and we surrender to what God wants. So that means even if life doesn't go the way I want it, I surrender to God. It means that even when I feel God has left me, that I'm alone and he's not loving me or looking out to him, I'm still going to surrender my life and say, Lord, I'll obey you and follow you and seek you. It means that even if I don't see him at work, I'm going to pursue relationship with him. It means I'm going to live by faith and not by what I see. Job said, though he slay me, still I will trust him. That's the attitude God wants. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and everything else is added. Where many people go wrong is they get disillusioned with God when they don't see God at work. They give up on him. They don't passionately follow after him. Some people chuck the faith off altogether. There's other people, they just go through the motions and go through church, but they don't really bring their hurts, their pains to God and say, God, I'm going to give it to you. I surrender to you. I'm going to let you do what you want to do. You take this junk in my life. Friends, seek him. Cry out to him. We mentioned earlier, David said, my God, why have you forsaken me? What's interesting is Jesus hung on the cross. He echoed those same words. Jesus was separated from the Father. Jesus was still God as he hung on the cross, but his fellowship with the Father, he was abandoned. It was severed. He was forgotten so that you and I are not. He spared not his own son. How much more will he freely give us all things? Walk by faith, not by sight, circumstances, or results. Remember, God is with you. Remember, he loves you and he values you. Remember, he is working behind the scenes. And then with the knowledge of those things, seek after him. Make him first place in your life. No matter what happens, no matter how you feel.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.